Lecture 10, The Challenge of Liberal Nationalism.
When we stopped last time, we were in the midst of a discussion about Restoration Europe, the attempt on the part of the crowned heads of Europe to restore order, to reverse the tide of revolution and social political change that had swept Europe between 1789 and 1815. We had talked about the situation in France, in some ways the most pivotal of all of the experiments in restoration. And in this lecture, we're going to turn our attention to Central Europe. It was in Central Europe that the situation was far more complicated in many respects than in France. Here one sees the connection between liberalism, revolution, and nationalism at its most obvious, at its most salient. The situation, the attempt to restore order in Central Europe was on the one hand more complex than in Western Europe and in some ways easier. It was easier or simpler because the revolution had not crossed the Rhine or the Alps. The spirit of 1789, the events of 1789, had not swept across the frontiers into Central Europe, but rather had been brought on the backs of the French revolutionary armies and the armies of Napoleon. The German and Italian middle classes were numerically weak and economically underdeveloped compared to that of France or of Britain. They had been unable to become the vanguard of any sort of mass movement for revolutionary change, as they had in France. There had certainly been peasant revolts in Italy and in Germany before the revolution, but the urban bourgeoisie was not in a position to take leadership of any sort of revolutionary movement, as the Third Estate had been able to do after the Great Fear in France. There was also the legacy of division. Both Germany and Italy were more geographical expressions than political entities before 1789. There was no national capital of Italy or of German Central Europe. Rome was the center of Roman Catholicism of the papacy, but not the capital of an Italian national state. Vienna was the residence of the Habsburg monarchy, the most powerful and influential of the German families, but hardly a national capital. So there was no centralized government to be seized, no capital to be taken by revolutionaries. Paris, which played such a pivotal role in all of the revolutionary outbreaks from 1789 down through 1830, and as we will see in a subsequent lecture in 1848, there was no equivalent to Paris in either Italy or in German Central Europe. Also, I think one has to say that the politically conscious middle classes, particularly of Germany, had been by and large successfully co-opted by enlightened absolutism. We talked about how one of the great sources of friction in France had been an extraordinarily ambitious, economically successful, articulate middle class had felt that it was out of touch with a corrupt, parasitic government. In Germany, however, and particularly in Prussia and in a number of other German states, the educated, politically active elements of the bourgeoisie had been successfully integrated into either state service or had become dependent on the state for economic aid. In fact, precisely those elements of society who would take a leading role in France, this educated, ambitious middle class, in Germany, would see the state as a tool or an instrument to be used for social change. Whereas in France, the state had to be destroyed in order to destroy the privileges of aristocracy. In Germany, elements of the middle class saw the state as an instrument or a weapon to be used against that aristocracy. Enlightened absolutism had been the key in this development. German liberals tended to desire a strong state which could be used to reduce the privileged position of aristocracy. Frederick the Great's initiation of a legal code, the Prussian legal code, was an example of this. This was a way in which middle-class civil servants could use this legal code to whittle away at the privileges of aristocracy. They couldn't do this by a direct frontal assault on the bastions of aristocracy as they would do in France, but rather would use the state, use the instruments of power created by the monarchy to do this.